Welcome. Thanks for joining us today on the Venture Podcast. We hope this message encourages you and inspires you along your journey.
Venture, isn't it an awesome morning already? Isn't it so cool? Man, baptisms, they're just a sermon all by themselves, aren't they? Just telling the story again and again and again of the way God has moved in our direction and brought dead hearts to new life. And if that doesn't get you burned up and get you excited, you may not be awake this morning. But that should get you fired up. And I'm so excited already with everything that God is doing this morning. But I am a little bit nervous this morning because I'm talking this morning about the angry fool. You don't have to know me very well probably to know that I struggle with a little bit of anger. I'm 5'3", enough said. I've got an Irish background. And I got a beard. So, I think they sketched me out on Inside Out, you know, and they were talking about the little angry emotion guy in there. I really felt personally attacked in the second one when they were trying to get back, you know, to Mind Central. And he was like, slow down. And she was like, stretch out your hamstrings. And I was like, oh, just felt attacked a little bit. I thought, man, how do they know me? Okay, but I have anger for me has often been like a close friend, a warm blanket. I don't know if I realized maybe like in sixth grade that I had hit 5'3" and I wasn't growing any taller. And then my three brothers after me continued to grow to 6 foot tall. And maybe that maybe is the beginning of the genesis of all my aggression. But God's really taken me on a journey, and it's really been an amazing thing to watch God bring a lot of peace into my heart and settle my spirit in a lot of ways. And just the other day, actually, as I was thinking about doing this talk, I was driving in. I've got about a 30-minute drive, and I was just driving in. I was listening to worship music, and I was just like, man, I'm so thankful that anger isn't my story anymore, that anger isn't the first thing that's always coming up all the time. And just so thankful. And then I got on the 85 and traffic stopped. And I thought, okay, it's okay. It's okay. You know, I got a cool boss. He doesn't mind if I'm 5 minutes late. It's fine. You know, but I was sitting on the road and I looked in the mirror and I saw a motorcycle coming up in the middle, you know, like they do. And that really bothers me. Like it's really bothers me. So I closed my eyes and I just imagined opening my door at the right time. You ever wanted to do that before? Those guys just blowing up through. I don't know if that's probably not a godly feeling, but it just felt good for a minute. And I thought, okay, that's not Jesus. So I just opened my eyes. Like, okay, let's get back to the worship music. I don't have any anger anymore. Feeling great. I thought, you know what? I feel a little justified because he was doing that I'm going to get in the carpool lane. You guys know what I'm saying? I was rationalizing. I have only one person in the car, but I'm going to get in the carpool lane. So I start blowing down in the carpool lane. And wouldn't you know it, somebody in the carpool lane wasn't going at the speed of traffic. And so that was frustrating. So I got up right up on them. And then I whipped around them and I just kind of did that dirty look, you know? Like, come on, man, you know better. I know it's a carpool lane, but it's also a passing lane. You know, there's other places you could be, but the carpool lane. And then that was fine. Worship music's still going great. It's awesome. Jesus is still the Lord of my life. And I got all the way down to the light, you know, here at Hicks and got to turn in. And wouldn't you know it, when the road, you can't just turn right if there's a car going straight. You know what I'm saying? And so they're sitting there and I'm like frustrated already because you can't really get around them. I've tried that before and banged up my car, so I'm not gonna do that anymore. And the light turned green and whoever was in that car was looking at their phone. And I about lost it. And then to make it worse, they turned right. And they pulled me to the parking lot and I looked over and it was Pastor Charles. And I just kidding. I made that part up. That's not true. The rest of that story is true, except for that last part. I got to be honest. Man, anger is all around us. We're in a culture of outrage. We are being tempted at every turn to lose it. In fact, we're encouraged to do that more. There's a lot of, I think, thought in our culture that if you want something done, get outraged, get angry. There's lots of people I know that think that they're not gonna get good service at a restaurant unless they get a little bit angry and get a little bit rude with the server. There's Twitter wars going on. I got off Twitter last year because it's too much fun for me to watch how angry people get, you know, and you just see them going back and forth, and it's like, okay, this isn't good for my soul. We're being enticed all the time to be angry, and it's not that hard because anger is also on the inside. And so what I want to do this morning is talk a little bit about what anger is, and then I want to talk, Proverbs really lays out for us a description of the angry fool. What does it look like to be an angry fool? And then I want to talk a little bit about what it looks like to turn down the temperature on anger in our own life and maybe in our relationships. What is anger? David Paulson is a Christian counselor, and he wrote a book called Good and Angry, and I would recommend you picking up that book. It's a great diagnostic tool to kind of figure out what anger looks like, your unique struggle with anger, and he just gives a really helpful definition. And he says, anger is active displeasure towards something you deem important enough to care about. It's active displeasure towards something you deem important enough to care about. And then if you go, well, that's a little bit vague. I mean, active displeasure, okay, I get that. Something important enough that I care about it. It may not be important to you, but I care about it. But he gives kind of five kind of expressions of that anger, and I think they hit a little bit closer to home. Irritability is an expression of anger. It's active displeasure. Withdrawal. I'm not really a withdrawer. I'm kind of aggressive, outgoing. If I'm angry, almost everybody knows. But you may be a withdrawer, a passive withdrawer in your anger. Anger can show up like bitterness, just an ongoing kind of bitterness in your life that comes out in your relationships. It can come out as argumentative, a little bit close to home, to find yourself always kind of in an argument with somebody. It can come out and actually look kind of spiritual in the form of self-righteousness. I was mentored and I spent a lot of time in ministry admiring a very angry preacher whose name I won't say. But there was a whole group of us young guys that just thought it was godly and manly to be angry. And that really was something I struggled with for a long time. It felt very self-righteous and even empowered to be able to yell at things that we knew or we thought were wrong. And then for some people, it can be just outright violence. And I don't mean you're gonna throw a punch, but I mean that you have a violent way of speaking and talking to people. And maybe for some people, actual violence is something you struggle with. I don't wanna say that that's not possible, but I think the way that you use language can actually be very violent sometimes. And a couple things that we need to just set the table with before we go much further with anger is we need to start with God. I love how Tim has done this actually every single week. That as we talk about the different kinds of fools that there are, to really know what's foolish, you have to start with the standard, God. And what's interesting, if you've read your Bible at all, it may be perplexing to you to know that God experiences anger. God experiences anger. And as image bearers, so do we. God experiences anger, and as image bearers, as those made in the image and a reflection of the Creator God, God has anger, and that's something that's inside of us. Look at what Psalms 7 says. It says, God is an honest judge. He is angry with the wicked every day. God is an honest judge. He's a fair judge. And as he looks out over planet Earth and he sees injustice and evil and wickedness, in a just way, his heart is angry every day. And if that's true, then we need to come to another idea that anger isn't sin at its core. Anger isn't sin at its core. I think sometimes because we've experienced so much brokenness in anger, it's really hard to understand it and for what it really is. But it's not sin at its core. In fact, Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says this in chapter 4. He says, be angry and do not sin. And do not let the sun go down on your anger. By the way, just aside, this isn't the sermon, but I don't think that means that in every argument with your wife or with your husband, you've got to solve it before you go to sleep at night. That can make for some really long nights and maybe actually cause more anger. I think what he means is don't let anger settle in and become hardened in your heart. Don't let the sun go down and anger become your standard reality. Be angry and do not sin. So there's a sense in which you can be angry and not sin, which means that anger at its core is an emotion, and it's kind of built into our DNA as image bearers. It's built into us. If you're not sure about that, I now have almost a year old little girl, and she's amazing. But she got her first ear infection like a month ago. And Charlotte is the chillest, happiest baby you've ever seen. She sleeps great at night unless she's a little uncomfortable. And then she gets angry. And she goes from like, I'm chilling, to like, what have you done? And you better fix it. And I just remember she had that ear infection and I was holding her and she was grabbing my shirt and she was looking at me and she was yelling, not just yelling, but yelling at me. And I thought, that's anger. She doesn't know where to point this thing at. And she's like, you're the biggest person I know. And I'm angry. Anger is built in to our DNA. But before you get all justified, before you start going, sweet, man, whoa, this is good. Great, I'm angry. Hey, honey, back off, man. Chuck said, anger isn't sin. I'm fine. I'm great. Before you get all justified in your anger, you need to know there's a big difference between God's anger and our anger. God, in his anger, is perfectly appropriate, it's always just, and it's always the right response every time he chooses to use it. Because God is perfect, because God is holy, because he's the creator of the universe. Every time God experiences anger and decides to deploy his anger, he is always appropriate, perfectly appropriate, always just, it's always the right response. Unlike human anger is always mixed with sinful motivations. Human anger is always mixed with human motivation. You may go, well, wait a minute, Chuck, what do you mean by that? Aren't there good things to be angry at? Yes, there are. But you need to understand human depravity has infected everything. Human depravity and human rebellion has affected every way your mind thinks, every approach to relationships, every way you do work. It has infected every part of your life, mind, emotions, and everything that you do. Sin has infected you. So that there is nothing you can think, feel, or do that doesn't have human brokenness and sinful motivations. But the second part of that phrase is it often resulting in a foolish response. The hope of the gospel and the hope of a relationship with God is that the things that are broken inside of us don't always have to come out in broken ways. That we can work in a relationship with God, that God can work in us and through us, so that even though every time we feel anger, there's a sinful motivation mixed in somehow, it doesn't always have to result in a foolish response. Look at what James 1 says. It says, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So if all of that is true, then some of us may find that we've allowed ourselves to become the angry fool. And Proverbs, I was just kind of just looking through it, and there's so many different descriptions, so many angles to come at it, but I've got 7 descriptions of the angry fool coming out of Proverbs, and I'm just gonna go through these, and you may find yourself here, or you've experienced it from other people. The first type of angry fool is the angry fool is quick-tempered and easily insulted. Quick-tempered and easily insulted. You'll find, by example, that quick-tempered is a word that's used often with the angry fool. And look at what Proverbs 12 says. It says, a fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. Inferring then that the fool gets insulted and just loses it. I've often found that the biggest, strongest guys I know are overly sensitive, and it doesn't take much pushing or something to touch on with them for them to blow up in anger. Act tough, but overly sensitive, and the angry fool is so easily insulted. The second type of angry fool is the angry fool responds instinctively. Something happens and they respond instinctively without thinking and does or says something painfully stupid. Proverbs 14:17 says, short-tempered people do foolish things. I don't know if you've been watching the news or if you're a football fan, but Jason Kelce is learning this lesson. He's walking down the street minding his own business, and somebody comes up and starts talking to him, and you saw him. He just flipped a switch. He grabbed the phone. He threw it on the ground. It exploded. And then all the kinds of things that have come out from that, of just responding instinctively and doing something painfully stupid. He has apologized, by the way, just so you know, but I'm sure he's still feeling the weight of that. Number three, the angry fool celebrates destructive decisions. They don't just make bad decisions, but they actually celebrate it. The angry fool says, hey, let's get angry together and let's do something destructive together. Proverbs 14 says, he who has a nasty temper exalts in folly. Like they celebrate it. They go say, hey, what property can we destroy? What fight can we get into? Who can we get? I remember I was with somebody one time and we were just hanging out and then, you know, he said, hey, I wonder, you know, that person up there, I wonder if we could get them to, you know, get mad at us or, you know, do you think we can get them to get in a fight with us? And I was like, dude, why would we want to do that? And he's like, well, wouldn't that be, you know, they're kind of jerk and, you know, they're doing this and that or whatever. Don't you want to see if we can get them upset? And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get into that kind of fight. But foolish people celebrate destructive decisions. Number four, the angry fool word vomits their frustrations to anyone who will listen. Now, this might be a little closer to home for some of you. In that phrase, my wife was like, do you really want to use that phrase? And I was like, yes. Because I think sometimes we need to get a visual picture of what's happening when we feel justified getting around people and then just all the stuff we're frustrated about. I mean, for some of us, it's almost a sport to get around somebody and just vent our frustrations. Proverbs 29:11 says, fools vent their anger, but the wise quietly hold it back. I think some of us might find that we've built whole relationships around venting. At the water cooler, people at work, sometimes even dynamics in a relationship and in marriage can sometimes be that the thing we bond over is how much we vent about all those people in our lives that we think are stupid or irritating. And I don't know about you, but unrestrained, sometimes we can just talk for hours about this person and that person and all that stuff. And Proverbs says that's the fool. The fool vents their anger. Number five, the angry fool stirs up conflict. He seeks it out. He picks a fight or an argument. Proverbs 15 says, a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. The fool is always looking, he's always trying to bait you into an argument. So he's always trying to bait you to be like, hey, you know, I don't know if it's too soon to talk about the election, just happened, but I don't know about you, but I just felt like people were trying to bait me all day long. And it's just like, oh man, it's just like people just say stuff and you're like, oh, you want me to get into it, don't you? And it's just like, I don't want to get into that. I don't want to engage that. But the angry fool stirs up conflict. Number six, the angry fool never learns. Proverbs 19 says, hot-tempered people must pay the penalty. In other words, they need to feel the pain of their outburst and their anger, because if they don't, if you rescue them once, you will have to do it again. I know lots of wives who have not held their husbands accountable for their angry outbursts. And then the husbands are like, I'll never say that again. I'll never explode like that again. But someone who doesn't feel the pain of the way their anger comes out on others is just gonna do it again. The angry fool never learns. They must pay, they must feel the weight of that pain, or they're just gonna do it again. And then number seven, the angry fool is cruel and jealous. That could come out maybe like sarcasm. I find when I'm irritated on the inside, I rarely just come out and just go like, yeah, well, you, I get sarcastic. I get biting. He's cruel and jealous. Proverbs 27:4 says, wrath is cruel, anger is overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Guys, anger, and foolish anger in particular, is a tidal wave of pain to everybody around us. And so we need to ask ourselves a question at this point. We should say, hey, why are we so angry? Like, what's causing us to feel all this stuff worked up on the inside? And maybe some of us need to have a spirit of curiosity to look in and go, why do I respond that way? Why am I so angry? Why do I want to get in that argument? Why do I respond when that person says that? Why does that person irk me so badly? And there's a whole variety of reasons. They could be infinite. But the ones that I see showing up all the time is undealt with or unknown insecurities. The more I've become aware of my insecurities, the less angry I've become. It's just like, okay, wait a minute. I know what's driving that response. Someone said something, almost didn't mean it, but it landed on me like a 50-pound punch, and so I'm coming back. Undealt with insecurities. I think trauma. You ever notice someone blow up? You might push pause. When someone blows up on you, you might go, what kind of trauma have you accidentally touched on with somebody? Stress, financial pressure. Some people battle with chronic physical pain, and it's really hard to have peace, and it's really hard to be calm when your body's in constant pain. There are so many reasons, but you and I, if we're actually gonna move toward Jesus, we have to understand why we're angry. We have to be curious about our anger. And I think as we do that work, we can see some ways to turn down the temperature, both in our lives and in the relationships around us. The first way that we can, I think, turn down the temperature is shift the tone of the conversation. If you're in a conversation with somebody and it's getting hotter and hotter now, I sometimes don't realize until I'm 20 minutes in that they say something and I escalate, and then they escalate, and then I escalate. I'm not really good at being like, whoa, wait a minute, there's something going on here. How about we bring down the tone of this conversation? I love what Proverbs 15 says. It says, a gentle answer deflects anger. So it says something sharp, a gentle answer. The old King James says, used to say that a soft answer turns away wrath. That there's a way when people bring the heat, if you can have a soft answer, it deflects anger. Number two, another way, and this is what's going on inside of you, is you can let fewer things offend you. Wouldn't that be awesome? Wouldn't it be awesome if fewer things just got on your nerves and bothered you, that there were fewer things people could say that would really irk you? Wouldn't it be amazing if you had the kind of internal health and confidence that you were cruising through this broken world with broken people all around you, and there just weren't that many things that could get you angry? I love how God's word says it. Proverbs 19 says, sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Sensible people control their anger. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. Let fewer things offend you. And then three, and I think this is huge for so many of us, so many of us that are angry with others, and we just have a perspective toward others where they're always bothering us, or maybe they've hurt us and we're just completely frustrated. There's a relationship we have. There's a father or a mother, or we're in a marriage that's contentious. We need to remember that each person we're angry with is made in God's image. Every single person that you want to get frustrated with and angry with, and even feelings of hate are rising up in your heart, you've got to remember that that person is made in God's image. Look at how James says it in chapter 3. He says, "But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so." A big tool we have on our tool belt as Christians, and if you're not a Christian, this doesn't really apply to you. And I don't know what other tool you're gonna grab onto, but I know for me that when I really feel anger, it's a massive help to me to remember that that person is made in the image of God and that God loves that person. I can't curse who God has made in his image. And then the fourth thing I wanna remember as we're trying to turn down the temperature is, this goes all the way back to the beginning, God who is always justified in his anger. God is always justified in his anger, but he's chosen instead to offer forgiveness to us. Now, if you're like, "Well, why would God be angry with me? I've never done anything wrong," then you're gonna miss this point. But if you've come awake to how broken you are on the inside, if the weight of your sin has rested and you've realized with clear-eyed perspective that you're a sinner, that you're a rebel, that you have acted against God and his purposes and his will, that when that weighs in on you and you see yourself for who you really are and you realize that God in his justice could look at you and all of your brokenness and rebellion and pride and deceit and all the other things that come in and wreck our lives because of sin, when you get a feeling of that and you recognize that a holy God who is perfect and just in every way has every right to say, "You have done evil and I have a right to be angry at your evil." When you feel the weight of that, it is an amazing gift to recognize that God, who is always justified, chooses instead to forgive. He chooses instead to say, "Man, I am going to be slow." Look at what Psalms 103 says. He says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins." Oh, that's really good news for somebody in the house this morning. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor does he repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love to those who fear him. Man, if that is true, then all of a sudden, every right, every entitlement we have to leverage our anger at someone who has wronged us evaporates. That God has looked at us and said, "Though it would be just for me to be angry, I have decided to put aside my anger and not deal with you and be steadfast in my love toward you." You know, it's an amazing thing when I think through this. I think the clearest example in the Bible of this for me is the Apostle Paul. And if you just read Acts 7, 8, and 9, you kind of see Paul's conversion and his life, but you'll see words like he was enraged. And you go, "Why was Paul so angry?" Well, Paul was a really good religious Jew, and Jesus was messing up his system. Anybody messing up your system today? Paul was angry because he was like, hey, this is bad. Maybe it's bad theology to Paul. And he was like, you can't say Jesus is the Messiah. And you can't, you know, and he's saying that you don't have to necessarily be Jewish to follow him. And all that was messing with the Apostle Paul. And he was enraged. In other words, say that he was breathing threats and murder. And if you know the story about Paul before he was a Christian, is he was on a mission fueled by zealous, righteous anger to attack people he thought were standing against God. And then he encountered Jesus. And that encounter flipped him upside down so that he said, I persecuted the church, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And then I love in his writing in Ephesians, he has an invitation for you and me this morning. Paul, who had all the anger in the world and then encountered Jesus, can say this in Ephesians chapter 4. He can say, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Trade that in, but what are you trading it in for? Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. There's an invitation this morning for all of us. And it's to come with everything that we are and all of our brokenness and all of our anger, all of our frustration, all of our irritability, and to trade that in for a tender heart. Because see, behind all of our anger, there's a hard heart, isn't there? A heart that's gotten hard over time, mistreatment, disappointment, frustration. And yet the gospel invites us to trade all of that in for a tender heart. The gospel invites us to trade in our anger for reconciled relationships. So many of us have seen relationships that have gotten stressed or strained because we didn't control our anger. And the gospel invites us to trade all that in for reconciled relationships. And the foundation of that invitation is that God in Christ forgave you and me. And he was slow in his anger toward us. And he reconciled us. And he said, though you were an enemy of the cross and you were a rebel in all the intentions of your heart and your mind, yet I have gathered you by my grace and I've made you my son and my daughter. And I love that Paul says, that's the foundation of letting go of all my bitterness, all my wrath, and all my anger. Isn't that an amazing invitation? You know, as we close this morning, I want to make that invitation to you that if you're in the house this morning and somewhere along the way you find yourself here with the angry fool, or maybe you're like, well, I don't know if it's foolishness, I just feel like it's justified because of what's been going on in my life and what's happened to me. I bet you even if you feel justified, you can still see the destruction of your anger. And I just want you to know that Jesus has something better for you. And that something better can be found in his grace and in his forgiveness and in the cross, where all the wrath of God was aimed at the cross so that you and I could experience his mercy. And so if you need that this morning, if you want that this morning, I'm just gonna pray and you can agree with me in your prayer. And then I would just challenge you as we leave this morning, would you come down? Would you find one of our people down here that wanna pray with you? And would you just say, hey, I'm coming with all my brokenness and I wanna find the peace and the grace of Jesus, and let us pray with you and take steps in a direction toward Jesus. Can we do that? Jesus, we love you so much. It's an amazing thing that you and all your perfection have the right to be angry against injustice. And yet you've been slow to anger and you've been abounding in steadfast love toward us who are broken in every way. Right now, God, I pray that you would invite those who don't know you and haven't yet fully trusted in you, that right now would be the moment that they would put their complete confidence in you. and that you would immediately move in their direction and help them experience the peace, joy, and loveness that they, the love that they so deeply desire. Would you do that right now in Jesus' name? Amen.
We hope today's message encouraged you in your journey of faith. To keep up with the latest messages and what's happening, make sure to subscribe to this podcast and visit venture.cc.